Hey guys, this is Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, and you are listening to a Locked On Spurs with Jeff Garcia. It's Morphin' Time.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Spurs of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host once again, Jeff Garcia, and thank you for tuning in once again. And we're about to enter the doldrums of the NBA offseason. About the only shoe left to drop will be Manu Ginobili's decision whether to retire or not. So now it's time to speculate and look ahead at the upcoming Spurs season whenever that rolls around. And obviously the biggest, spotlight will be on DeMar DeRozan, the newest member of the Spurs. You know how he got here. Blockbuster trade with the Spurs, Toronto, Kawhi Leonard, blah, blah, blah. That chapter is done. But DeMar DeRozan's already gotten a jump start on his Spurs training out in Vegas with Team USA, with Popovich leading the charge on the court, pretty much being the head coach. And, they're starting to get some chemistry going into the preseason, offseason training camp, if you will, in a few short months. So basically, now what? All right, so DeMar's a Spur. How does he fit in? How do you foresee he's going to fit in? Are there any pitfalls ahead that maybe you or our guest in a few minutes, James Pleasure of ESPN San Antonio, will comment on? So with that, yeah, how is DeMar going to fit in? We're going to welcome now James Pleasure, ESPN San Antonio, my former colleague out there at my old stomping grounds. James, welcome to Locked On Spurs, and good to hear from you again.
Good to talk to you, Jeff. What's going on, man?
Oh, nothing much, man. Just about to hit those NBA doldrums, man. That offseason, it's coming fast. That period of time where nothing happens.
Yeah, but luckily in the NBA, that's only about like a month and a half before training camp gets started again. So the doldrums are not quite that of the NFL, but it does seem like absolutely nothing happens for about the next 2 months.
Yeah, and as mentioned, Manu Ginobili, that's probably like that's the last big shoe to drop, and which should be imminent at any moment now. Usually he looks at July to make his announcement. So far, nothing as of this recording. But yeah, so they got a new Spur in town, James. DeMar DeRozan, 9 seasons in Toronto, multiple All-Star, Eastern Conference Player of the Month, Eastern Conference Player of the Week, blah, blah, blah. He comes in with a pretty good resume. But, they say whoever gets the better player, in this case, Kawhi Leonard, usually wins the deal, that being Toronto. But that's not to sneeze at DeMar DeRozan. First of all, before we dive into the main topic, what were your thoughts when you heard the news that DeMar DeRozan is now a Spur?
That was the best deal that the Spurs felt that they could get, so they had to pull the trigger. The addition of DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, who seems like a Spur. It seems like the kind of big man that Thiago Splitter was and multiple other big men that have played in the Spurs system under Popovich. He just feels like a Pop kind of guy when he was drafted 9th overall by the Raptors a few years ago. So I think that's a big part of it. The top 20 protected first round pick. It just feels like that was the most because of what wasn't being offered by LA, what wasn't being offered in Boston, which reports are none of their top five were even on the table. So you couldn't do anything with them. And the only one that I kept thinking over and over again was Philly. Like, eventually they're going to go, okay, Markelle Fultz, and that was going to push that deal of the Heat unprotected pick plus Covington and Saric. And if you could somehow end up with Fultz, then that would have been the deal to take. But it seems like they weren't willing to budge on that. So this was the best the Spurs could do, and that's what you're trying to do. You're getting an all-star back in return. You're getting an all-NBA type player back in return. Usually it's hard to get assets of that kind of value back, and I know that he's not great from the perimeter. He's more of a mid-range game, which kind of suits what the Spurs like to do anyway.
Right.
But I believe some time with Chip England will get his three-point percentage back up, and I think this is going to be a really good fit in San Antonio for him and Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially with the Chip England angle. Look what he did with Tony Parker. Look what he did with Kawhi Leonard. Look what he did with Danny Green. The list goes on and on. These guys weren't really known for being prolific shooters, and they definitely upped their game from the outside once Chip got his hands on him on them. Hopefully, the same goes for DeMar DeRozan. You know, one of the first things that I thought of when the deal went down, James, and I was asked, you know, like, well, who do you think who won the deal? And yeah, I get it. You know, the Spurs parted ways with Kawhi Leonard, a top tier player in the league. But I looked outside of X's and O's, James, and I said, you know what? I think the Spurs want it for everything that's involved on and off the court, off the court especially. This was just one of the craziest chapters in the Spurs history, from reports of Kawhi being, you know, hidden away from Spurs brass in New York City, to him bailing on the team left and right when he said he's going to come back, and will he kind of, to the infamous confrontational meeting. I mean, this was just insane. And I guess why it got magnified was because it was happening to San Antonio. That's why. I mean, this is not uncommon for Lakers to have LA drama, you know, the Mavericks, the Knicks especially. But for San Antonio, they were a rock for the NBA. They were what every NBA team wanted to be, drama free. Well, you know, they're just like everybody else, James.
I don't know if it got blown out of proportion because I do think this was a huge story just because of what was going on. And you have him hiding. You got an injury that nobody can seem to diagnose, and Spurs medical staff, who is widely regarded around the league as one of the best in the NBA, and they're going to be more cautious with you in bringing you back from an injury to avoid further injury or help prolong your career the way they did with Duncan, sitting him out of a playoff series because of his meniscus. And there's more of a history of them being very, very cautious with injury and bringing people back from injury than the other side of it, which is what was being reported as they misdiagnosed him and they were trying to rush him back. Like, a lot of things just didn't seem to fit with what this organization is known for. So I believe when you have these aspects, yes, this is going to be a huge, huge story because it seems like basically a man just trying to force his way out of a team.
Yeah, and mission accomplished. And I also think too that the Spurs Popovich, especially in Buford, I mean, those guys don't really put up with too much BS, and this is a point where the last thing they needed is for a malcontent to head into preseason training camp with that negative vibe surrounding him. Even if he did show up to camp at all, I mean, seriously, I mean, I really would not have been surprised if he was still a Spur to today, and come training camp he was a no-show. So that's something they need to get rid of themselves of. They did that. They got DeMar DeRozan. You mentioned Poeltl. You mentioned the pick. Did take a sting, though, James, losing Danny Green, at least defensively. That kind of stung a little bit.
Yeah, Danny Green's a great player. He's a guy that bought in. He was one of the longest tenured Spurs still on the team outside of Manu Ginobili. It's Ginobili, it's Green, and it's Patty Mills. Those are your longest tenured Spurs now. So this is a completely different team, and all that corporate knowledge that we've been so accustomed to throughout the years is pretty much out the window. And I think we're going to see a different type of not just a Spurs team, but a different brand of Spurs basketball on the court. The same way they kind of went from the beautiful game to this ISO game with Kawhi, and the way they went to the beautiful game from kind of a four down kind of offense before that, we're going to see another switch in the style that they play. And I believe that DeMar DeRozan is going to complement LaMarcus Aldridge extremely well.
Well, let's go ahead and dive right into it then. That's a good segue. So, Double D, DeMar DeRozan, he's a Spur. Let's start off with the positives. What do you see him, the positive effects that he's going to bring to this roster on the floor at the AT&T Center on the road to San Antonio?
Athleticism, lots and lots of athleticism. We've got a team with wings that are hyper athletic. You think about a Lonnie Walker, and you bring DeMar DeRozan to the table, and DeJounte Murray now starting at the point guard. You've got some wings that are long, athletic, and can just be explosive around the basket and make things happen off the dribble and kind of create their own shots. When before this, like Kawhi Leonard had to create, he was our shot creator. Right. Everything else you had to kind of run on the offense for, but this is a more wide open style of offense I think we're going to see from the Spurs. And I think we're going to see a lot more transition out of them this coming season.
I know, shocking. There's going to be actually some run and gun in San Antonio next season. One thing that stood out for me, though, is the fact that LMA has some help now. Last season, it was on the offensive end, that is, LMA or bust. That was it. That's all it really came down. You really couldn't get anything consistently on the offensive end from Danny or Patty and Powell. Bertans, you know, you lose Kawhi, you know, obviously there's 20-plus points out the window, and et cetera, et cetera.
Remember, though, too, Jeff, that the Spurs, we still had that lingering question. Even if everything smoothed out and Kawhi was happy and he was still here, we still had that lingering question of, can Marcus and Kawhi play together? Because the season before, it didn't work. And it worked this season for LaMarcus because Kawhi wasn't there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. And that's kind of the, I guess, maybe one of the, I guess, kind of the gray areas that the Spurs team and maybe Spurs fans are going to be looking at is, can now LMA, who was the megastar for this roster last season, coexist with DeMar DeRozan? And yeah, you can say, well, you know, they play different positions. How can they not? You know, they're not going to be clashing in the paint or, you know, for touches down low. But no, LMA has a mid-range shot. You know, he loves his touches outside of the paint. We know what DeMar DeRozan's bread and butter is, the mid-range shot. So that's gonna be answered very soon. But if I'm LMA, I'm going into the roster, to the training camp thinking, thank goodness, I got somebody who can help alleviate some of the burden. And if they play this right, they could have a great inside-out game if those two can start getting something going as far as a rhythm. You know, a threat down low with LMA and then a mid-range threat and an athletic threat to penetrate with DeMar DeRozan.
Well, you got DeMar DeRozan and DeJounte Murray both able to penetrate. But remember, as good as DeMar is at penetration and the mid-range, you're going to have pick-and-roll opportunities with DeMar and LaMarcus Aldridge where either one of them can hurt you with that kind of mid-range shot. And then if you don't switch correctly, DeMar DeRozan can abuse you getting to the rim.
Yeah, exactly. So the Spurs have themselves on their hands right now, something great, a great problem to have. And look, if Popovich can, you know, talk with LMA right before the season starts, say, look, you know, we're going to be rearranging things a little bit in the offensive end. I think LaMarcus would embrace that. He's an older guy now. He's been in the league for quite some time now. He's starting, in my opinion, the back end of his career already, although last season could have proved me wrong. And, you know, go ahead, James.
Oh, no, I was just laughing at that. Last season could have proved me wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Could have proved me wrong. But, you know, I think you welcome that. If you're LaMarcus, you welcome a guy like DeMar DeRozan's because he will create for LaMarcus if he gets going. Defenses are going to sag on LaMarcus if DeMar is getting going. They're going to be keen on him if his penetration to the rim is going. So, hey, everybody wins in this situation. One of the negative things, though, that has been lingering for me, James, I want to get your opinion on this, is do you have an issue with him still not letting go of Toronto? I mean, every time you hear interviews with him, he's still Toronto this, Toronto that. And he even said it himself. He's not really accepted that he's a Spur yet. Does that bother you?
Yeah, it did at first. At first, I was kind of unnerved by it because he seemed more bitter about just being gone from Toronto and not willing to accept the fact that he was coming to San Antonio. But the more you see of him and the more you hear from him at the Team USA practices out in Las Vegas with Greg Popovich and the way the two seem to be bonding and the way he's talked about the Spurs since the practices have started and working with Popovich, you start to see like, all right, maybe this guy's starting to buy in. Maybe like he's going to be okay with San Antonio. And that may be it. It's just initially in the moment, He was very upset, felt he was lied to, felt he was betrayed. This was a place he considered home and wanted to be his home for his entire career, and he felt betrayed by it. Now, if San Antonio can embrace him the way that he feels like he wanted to be embraced by Toronto, I feel like he's going to buy in here. And I think some of the pictures and videos you see of him and Pop bonding, laughing, having a good time, the way he's been answering questions about San Antonio at practices down there in Vegas, I think it's going to bode well for his future here in San Antonio. Now it's just on the fans to embrace him the way he wants to be embraced.
I totally agree with you. I think this is going to be a heavy dose of patience initially. And let's not forget this too. LaMarcus Aldridge was an all-star in Portland, and then he came to San Antonio. DeMar DeRozan was an all-star in Toronto, then he came to San Antonio. Just like LMA, I'm expecting DeMar DeRozan to have a very difficult learning curve with the Spurs system. It got to the point where LaMarcus Aldridge was frustrated, wanted out, didn't feel he was being fitted in well with the team. I don't think it'll get to that point with DeMar, but I think DeMar's going to have a little patience trying to learn to adjust to a new system. It's always played in Toronto. It was just the Toronto system. Yeah, he had multiple coaches, but there was a sense of comfortability with the Raptors. So I'm expecting that as kind of one of the negatives initially is his learning curve into the Spurs system and getting adjusted to what many say is a very difficult system to learn, at least in your first season, James.
And it's not just the Spurs system, because you talk about the Spurs system and most people think about the offensive end of the floor.
Yeah.
Where people struggle in San Antonio is the Spurs' defensive sets, because Pop demands so much out of you on the defensive side of the basketball and being able to know where everybody is so that you can switch properly and be in the correct positions. And that's really the biggest thing. That's where LaMarcus struggled in his first year. That's where most players struggle. And if you look at DeJounte Murray, who got next to no playing time as a rookie, halfway through the season, you could tell he starts to kind of figure it out, gets more playing time, overtakes Tony Parker, and ends up becoming a second team all defensive player last year.
Yeah, exactly. And, speaking of DeJounte Murray, talk about that backcourt for San Antonio. If they get going and they start getting some sort of good chemistry between DeMar DeRozan and Murray, that could be a nice 1-2 punch in the NBA and, a lot of hell for opposing defenses to handle.
Yeah, well, it's going to be very long, very athletic. We're going to see a completely different style of basketball because of their length and athleticism with him, DeMar DeRozan, Lonnie Walker, Derek White even, who we saw tear up the G League last year and tear up Summer League this year. So I think he's in line for a big role off the bench, possibly, maybe kind of take over that Patty Mills role of instant offense off the bench, being able to kind of create for himself, score, whether it's off the dribble or coming off screens. And you're going to see this team run a lot more fast break, explode towards the basket a lot more. And I think you're going to, because remember, for a while there, when we saw dunks, it was basically, if it was a SportsCenter highlight, it was Kawhi Leonard, because he was really the only hyper-athletic player we had on our team that could do things like that. We've got like 5-6 players like that on our team this coming season. You've got Lonnie Walker. You've got DeJounte Murray. You've got DeMar DeRozan. You've got players that can just explode at the rim and make things happen.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is going to be a very fun, exciting, young Spurs team next season. And one thing that DeMar DeRozan, if for some reason you're listening to this episode of Locked On Spurs, I can guarantee you this: there will be no NHL player to call you names and poke fun of you in San Antonio. You'll be welcome with open arms in SA. And speaking of feeling comfortable,
you don't think the Rampage is going to take their shots?
Yeah, exactly. No Rampage players are going to be targeting you, DeMar, unlike somebody who will not be named on this episode who plays for the Oilers in the NHL. Nevertheless, though, one thing that I think is huge and needs a little bit more attention, it has nothing to do with X's and O's for DeMar DeRozan, James, is the fact that his best buddy, Rudy Gay, is here. I mean, these guys are good friends since their playing days in Toronto, and it goes beyond that, too. He'll have Poeltl, so there's a little familiarity there, so a little comfortable, somebody he can lean on who's he's known. Matt Bonner played for the Raptors. So, hey, you know, we can talk to Matt Bonner on the sidelines if he wants to. And, of course, Marco Bellinelli, too. Marco and DeMar DeRozan were teammates in Toronto 1.2. So there's a lot of Raptors connections in San Antonio. That's what I'm trying to get at here, James.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's going to be very comfortable for him, and the Spurs are going to make it very comfortable for him because this is a family atmosphere. The team, you know, it's like Manu said, like when you're rehabbing and you kind of get isolated from the team, it's different because we are so close and we like to keep things in. So when you're off rehabbing by yourself, it's on them and on us to both make them feel like they're still part of the team because they want this to be a family type of organization. And remember, Aaron Popovich was a huge part of being kind of the team mom to the entire team. Yeah. And so it's going to be very, very interesting to see how this kind of continues to go on without Aaron anymore, and especially with Pop, which seems like he might have some kind of renewed sense, because we kept wondering how much longer is Pop going to coach? Is he going to coach up until 2020 and then just focus on Team USA and the Olympics? And now it seems like maybe this lights a spark and he continues to do it for a little bit longer than we initially anticipated.
Well, when you remove a guy like Kawhi Leonard, I think that helps a lot of the stress levels in and on the court, off the court, in the locker room. And one thing, too, he won't be badgered by questions for an entire season regarding a player who just pretty much went ghost on the team, Kawhi Leonard. So there's that. It's a renewed vigor as well. And youth, you know, hey, you know, a lot of youth in this team. Popovich just loves teaching, so he'll definitely have a chance to teach a lot of young players in San Antonio. And you know, before we start putting a wrap on this, we got to let James go. He's a very busy man, listener. He's very busy, you know. If you had, you know, you're looking at this situation, the Spurs are done with Kawhi Leonard. You know, they moved on with DeMar DeRozan and, you know, hopefully better, bigger and brighter things ahead. But do you think this team is still good enough, as of right now, this recording, to challenge in the West?
I do. I still think they're possibly a top four team. And have enough, especially if they can, if their chemistry can round into form early enough to where they can challenge. I've said it before. I think the Lakers are a sixth seed in the Western Conference. You've got LeBron James, but not a whole heck of a lot else in Los Angeles. And I know he's great, but he's been great against, until recently, what's been a subpar Eastern Conference altogether, and has been able to just kind of will his way to an NBA Finals over there and to a top four seed. Remember, this Cavs team that he led, which is very similar to this Lakers team in terms of not a whole lot of talent outside of LeBron, they were a four seed in the Eastern Conference. Do we really think that he's going to take Lance Stephenson and Rajon Rondo and Michael Beasley?
I know.
To a top four seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah, he has a challenge.
So I believe that this is a year in LeBron in which they're going to make the playoffs, probably as a lower seed, and maybe give that first round team a bit of a series in the first round. But I don't see them making it deep into the playoffs, and I don't see them being a high seed because, once again, too, LeBron – this is a completely new team. There's going to be no chemistry. They're going to have to figure things out. So they're going to drop games probably early in the season as they try and figure out who they are. And that's not conducive in a Western Conference where you got Houston and Golden State at the top of it that are already going to be moving at a high level and don't have to worry about incorporating too many new pieces. And we're 65 and 62 win teams the year before, and you've got to just so much in this Western Conference. I feel that the Spurs, with what they've added, addition by subtraction with Kawhi Leonard, and it feels so weird to say that. I know he's a top three player in the NBA, but I think a lot of the headache, the questions, I think it did start to kind of wear on the team a little bit as the season went on. So you look at that, a much less stressful environment to work in for the Spurs and Pop. as they move forward this year. And I think, yeah, they can be a top four team in the Western Conference. And then you've got Utah and Portland, who are basically going to be your challengers, along with Oklahoma City, who actually did add a pretty significant piece in Dennis Schroeder coming off the bench, probably. So I think while the West is going to be great, I still see the Spurs with their additions and an All-NBA player like DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, their youth, their energy. There's going to be probably some growing pains at some point in the year just because of how young this team is. But I think Pop can lead them to home court in the Western Conference in the first round of the playoffs.
And because this team is very young, hopefully a certain guy who wears number 20 will come back to pour in years and years of SA corporate knowledge into this new breed of Spurs players.
And remember, Jeff, last year he didn't make his decision until right before the start of camp.
That is true. You're absolutely right. Yes, he did. Yeah.
So this may not be anything we're going to find out anytime soon. He may be enjoying all of summer and family and time with his kids and wife and everything that he can, and then, you know, get ready to show up a week out and be like, you know, I've still got that itch, or like, I'm really enjoying this and I think I'm going to continue to do this.
Well, it's, you know, weird for me to say this, but former Spur Danny Green even said that he feels, in his opinion, that number 20 will be back, considering how, you know, the offseason workouts that he witnessed before getting traded. So hopefully that's a sign of good things to come. Just one more. I know right now it's just so weird, James. From my view, there's a lot of Spurs fans that are very divided. It's right down the middle. They want him back or they don't want him back. It's very bizarre. You know, usually you think of Mono, you think, no, keep him in the uniform as long as you can throughout all of Spurs fandom. But no, there's actually a segment of Spurs fans that are saying, no, you know, he's done enough. He's got to go by.
That's shocking because of how well he played last year, but I can also see it in terms of, what was it, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, when it looked like he was just done. Like, I don't think people want to see a version of Manu that's not magical and special and great, when we thought for a split second in time that Manu had done all he could on a basketball court, and we were watching basically him struggle to the finish line.
Yeah, there's a certain way to for Spurs fans, they want to remember him go out with in a blaze of glory, you know, maybe a dunk on Kawhi, who knows, but we'll wait for that. By the way, I think that game has to be circled across all Spurs fans' calendar the moment the schedule gets released. Raptors
do you
and
think,
Spurs.
Do you think Kawhi plays?
I think he does. I'm going to go out on a limb.
You think he shows up in San Antonio?
Yeah. I'm going to go out there and say, yeah, he does. Because, I mean, this is the team that's look, I don't know. I mean, then again, who did? I don't think anybody got close to Kawhi Leonard. Anybody in the media, you, myself, anybody at ESPN SA, I don't know. But I can – Kawhi's the type to make me think, like, hey, he'll roll into the AT&T Center and be like, okay, I'm going to come out and I'm going to show out. But, wow, I mean, if he pulls –
I don't know.
You think Nurse would put himself
in that position of being booed by the fans and then asked questions by the media. And I could see that as a day off for Kawhi.
I would not be surprised if Raptors Nick Nurse says, I'm shutting him down. But – he's going to have to face the music eventually. One day. It's going to have to happen. And why not get rid of it now?
One day.
Yeah, I mean.
But why not as a Laker?
Well, it'd be worse than mega upset. The Spurs fans would be so upset. But
why deal with it in a place where, you know, you just see yourself renting time?
Yeah. Look, I'm determined.
And who knows? Maybe he voices something to the Raptors and is like, I don't want to do that. And the Raptors attempts to keep him happy to resign him. They're like, all right, we're resting you against the Spurs.
Well, they already.
You don't even have to make the trip.
They're already rolling out the red carpet for him. You know, he didn't want to do a press conference welcoming to Toronto, and he said no. And the Raptors are like, okay, do what you want. So I don't blame them. You know, they're you know, Masai Ujiri's rolling the dice huge right now on Kawhi Leonard to give up Mr. Raptor. I mean, that was big. So We shall see how this folds out, but this show is getting off the rails right now. We need to hear about what you think when it comes to DeMar DeRozan and how he fits in. You can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at jeffgspurszone. And James, I think, by the way, I didn't even say the congratulations on your new show at ESPNSA. You want to talk to everybody about that?
Yeah, myself and our original Rock the Mic champion, RJ Ochoa, now host a show Saturday mornings 9 to 11 called the Saturday Morning Hangover. Great, in man. Which, you know, we just kind of break down everything from the events of the week and get you ready for the weekend, especially with football season bearing down on us. We're going to be a nice lead in to Saturday morning 11 o'clock kickoffs and trying to get you ready for the sports weekend, both college football and the NFL. So it's a whole lot of fun. We like to make it as entertaining as possible on a Saturday morning to kind of help pick you up after a long Friday night, maybe.
And obviously on the radio dial, they can catch you where again?
It's 1250 on the AM, 94.5 on the FM, and of course on the go at ESPNSA.com.
Make sure you tune in to James and RJ on their new show. Give them a call. Call in. Show them some support. And make sure to go follow James Pledger on Twitter at
I am Pledger.
There you go. Give him a follow and talk to him all about Spurs, Cowboys. You pick a sport, he'll talk to you about it. But talk to him about the Oilers and an NHL guy. To see what, just get his reaction.
You can talk to me about anything and everything. Like Jeff, you can even get me with some Marvel comic book or Dragon Ball Z stuff.
Exactly. I mean, he runs the gambit, so make sure you follow him on Twitter. But for James Pledger of ESPN SA, I am Jeff Garcia, and he and I, we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.